worse things have been written about Donald Trump's White House. But when Kim Derrick described it as inept, deeply dysfunctional, and added the president himself, quote, radiated insecurity, international scandal ensued. Kim Derrick, you may recall, was Britain's ambassador to the United States. And when his frank assessment became public in the summer of 2019, he became persona non grata in Trump's Washington overnight. Derrick writes about the experience and many others during his 3+ years in Washington in a new book. It's titled Collateral Damage. And he joins us now for his first U.S. broadcast interview. Ambassador, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be talking to you.
Would you describe that moment when you learned that these cables that I'll note you had written in 2017, you had intended only ever to be read by a small circle of colleagues, that they had in fact leaked and were about to be published in a British newspaper for the whole world to read?
Yeah, it was a horrible moment. It was a Friday in Washington, and we'd heard from London that one of the minister's private offices, one of the special advisors to the minister, had been tipped off by one of our Sunday newspapers that they had a sheaf of documents from Washington, from the embassy. And most of them were cables with quite a wide circulation. One was talking about the state visit. One was talking about the president's first rally where he had launched his 2020 election campaign.
Normal diplomatic events and communications about them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But the one that kind of stopped me in my tracks was a letter I had written to, as you say, a tiny group of people in Whitehall, very senior people in Whitehall, as preparation for a senior level ministerial discussion about relations with the new administration in the US. So, I called it as I saw it, you know, we are paid to give frank, clear assessments, but confidential assessments to our ministers of what's going on. I was furious that this had leaked, and I realized instantly that it put my posting in jeopardy.
Wow. The lead article, I say the lead article because the Mail on Sunday devoted page after page to this, but they highlighted one particular sentence of yours, which I will quote. We don't really believe this administration, the Trump administration, is going to become substantially more normal, less dysfunctional, less unpredictable, less faction-riven, less diplomatically clumsy and inept. Were you wrong?
This was a president who thrived on chaos and disruption and who didn't believe in or didn't operate by the normal processes and structures and norms, if you like, of the office. And whether you think he's done a great job or that his record is more mixed, I think it's kind of inarguable that he has stuck to that very unique style of conducting the presidency. And I think if you look at how many people have turned over in the White House, I think he's got on his fourth chief of staff and his seventh or eighth communications director. You know, I mean, that's not what usually happens in the White House over a four-year term. So you know, I kind of stand by my judgments, though I wish they had not become internationally famous.
The president tweeted, quote, we will no longer deal with him being you. He also called you a wacky ambassador, pompous, and a very stupid guy. What is it like to be on the receiving end of that from the president of the United States?
Well, as you know, that's his style. So I wouldn't have known what particular words he would use, but I guessed it would be that sort of style. So this may sound surprising, but I wasn't surprised by it. You know, the words that really made a difference were, to my thinking, were, we will no longer deal with him. And I started to think, well, your job here as ambassador depends on having the best channels to the highest level of the administration. And if you don't have those, then you can't really do the job. This is such an important posting that it's in, you know, British interest, need an ambassador who has the best possible contacts. So I started to think then the job had become, my position had become untenable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of this episode and others that played out in your time. As we said, you came here in 2016, beginning of 2016. I met you. I worked with you while you were here in Washington. You were always very discreet, very careful, even off the record. The last person, in other words, who I would have expected to find at the center of a diplomatic scandal. How challenging is it as a diplomat dealing with this not always especially diplomatic administration?
I won't hide the fact that those were the four worst days of my career. But it was a pretty searing and difficult time. And I'm really glad that I resigned quickly rather than trying to hang on, because I think I would have had to leave sooner or later. And I think it would have been humiliating to sort of cling on and wait for stories in London saying I was about to be removed or whatever. So I feel it was the right decision to resign when I did.
A big picture question to put to you at the end. As someone whose job was to really try to understand America from the inside, living here, and as someone who now has some distance, you're watching events in America unfold from across an ocean, do you believe America's best days lie ahead?
I think they can. They can lie ahead. My personal favorite passage in the book was describing a meeting in mid-career when Tony Lake and Dick Holbrooke came across through London on a tour to say they were going to try to deliver peace in Bosnia.
Tony Lake and Richard Holbrooke, two top American diplomats of that period. Go on.
And I was the head of the Bosnia Department at the time and was very contentious in UK-US relations. And, you know, hundreds of thousands of people had died, and the Serbs were doing ethnic cleansing, and it was just a terrible thing to be happening in Europe. And Tony Lake and Dick Holbrooke came across, and they said they had a mandate to hold a peace conference and try and achieve a settlement. And Dick Holbrooke said, we hope you'll support us, we'd like you with us, but we're going to do this, whatever you think, because this is the moment, and we just can't see this going on in Europe any longer. And America has to take a lead. And that internationalist America, trying to make the world a better place and trying to solve the world's problems and address the world's injustices, was inspiring, even if it was quite an intimidating moment with Lake and Holbrooke setting this out. And that's the America I would like to see in future. And I think absolutely, you still have it in your genes and your DNA. You can do that again. Your diplomats and your negotiators and your politicians still have that capability if that's where you choose to go.
Sir Kim Derrick, thank you.
Thank you very much.
He was Britain's ambassador to the US from 2016 until last year. His book is titled Collateral Damage: Britain, America, and Europe in the Age of Trump.